Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Strides Pharma Science Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Singhal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Very good evening, and thank you for joining us today for Strides earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2026. Today, we have with us Arun, Founder and Non-Executive Chairperson, Badree, Managing Director and Group CEO, and Vikesh Kumar, Group CFO, to share the highlights of the business and financials for the quarter. I hope you've gone through our results release and quarterly investor presentation that have been uploaded on our website, as well as stock exchange website. The transcript for this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in relation to the risks pertaining to our business. After the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team. I now hand over the call to Arun to make the opening comments.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning, good evening for those of you who are joining from outside of India. We appreciate your time today. I am extremely pleased that we had another strong quarter with our disciplined and calibrated approach focused across different line items of our business, focusing on growth, more importantly, profitability, free cash flow, and a much stronger balance sheet. It's been several quarters of consistent performance, and I'm delighted, in spite of the environment in which we operate, that we continue to deliver strong and stellar performances. I don't want to take the thunder away from the team that actually does this on a daily basis. That is Badree and his leadership team, and I'll let Badree take the lead in today's call and be more than happy to address questions as they come, both after Badree's and Vikesh's opening statements. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome all. I'm very pleased to report the quarter one results for Strides. And probably I'll cover all the growth metrics, and I'll leave Vikesh to cover the profitability and efficiency metrics of the performance, Q1 performance. This quarter, we clocked about 11.2 billion rupees, which is about 1,120 crores, and gross margins expanded by 300 basis points. We touched the threshold of 60%. And from an EBITDA perspective, we are at 19.5% and operational EPS of 12.4. What we believe is that operating leverage has started and completely playing out in our results. And I'll cover each and every business in terms of the growth and Vikesh can take in terms of profitability and efficiency. As far as the U.S. market is concerned, we grew 7% year-on-year, and our long-term outlook of the business of $400 million in 2028, we continue to reiterate the business outlook. From a quarter perspective, the base business grew, led the growth in this quarter. We received one product approval and launched one product in FY26, and total number of commercial products stood at 70. We discontinued four products that did not meet our margin threshold. We continue to do this on a quarter-to-quarter basis as a part of a process initiative, and we want to our focus has been on improving the profitability and efficiency, and we continue to do that. Based on this, this call was taken to discontinue these four products. And we sustained the market share across the portfolio, and we are ranked among the top three in 37 products, which covers almost 75% of the U.S. revenue. And we continue to invest in R&D programs for growth beyond $400 million, and you'll start seeing the ticking of the entire R&D efforts in the coming quarters. As far as other regulated markets, grew at 9.2%, $42 million. We believe that the base is formed, And from now on, we should be able to see the growth in the other regulated markets. While we grew 9.2% year-on-year, the growth will be much better as we go along in the coming quarters. And mainly due to expansion of the product portfolio and the new customer acquisitions, which will drive the growth in the near term. And we believe that we have got a very solid footing. And we have also spent a lot of time in the regulatory efforts to get to a very meaningful size. And as far as the growth markets are concerned, we grew well on a small base, almost 32.3% growth. And access market has been a very lull in this quarter because of the donor funding and the environment continues to be challenging. And as far as the growth markets are concerned, we believe all the regulatory work is in progress, and we believe that it will lead the growth in the near term. And from a long-term perspective, I think the growth markets should grow much better in the over a 2 to 3 year period. And we believe our portfolio maximization efforts and selection of products will play through like US in the near term. So with this, I'll hand it over to Vikesh to cover his comments on profitability, efficiency, and other balance sheet metrics.
Thanks, Badri. Good evening to all of you. I'm also very delighted to share that we've reported a very stellar Q1 performance. We remain very focused on our QOQ growth outcomes. It has been a very calibrated approach to growth, you know, just like Badri mentioned, and our focus has been to drive consistency in both our profitability and efficiency outcomes. And you can see that across the line items in our results. Our EBITDA at 218 crores, it has grown 15% year-on-year, and with an EBITDA margin of 19.5% for the quarter, it's a very significant margin expansion reflecting the strong operating leverage and margin improvement that we remain focused on. On the operating PAT, we are continuing our momentum that we've had over the last few quarters, and it's very pleasing to report our highest ever quarterly operating PAT at 114 crores, and which is a very good EBITDA to PAT conversion of 52%. Just for context, we were 33% on EBITDA to PAT conversion in Q1 of last year, and that operating leverage is clearly visible here. With this, our operational EPS is at 12.4 per share, which is 81% growth year-on-year. In terms of reported PAT, we also had a very strong reported PAT of 106 crores. I just want to call out that last year in Q1 FY25, we had a very significant one-time gain on account of the 1.6% stake that Stride continues to own in OneSource. That was reflected in the Q1 results of last year. It was 102 crore gain, and therefore operational PAT is the right metric to really look at the PAT performance for this quarter. Our operational cash flow for this quarter is at about 118 crores, and this helped us generate a free cash of 26 crores, which has gone towards debt reduction. Our net debt is now less than 1500 crores. It's at 1496 crores. We were negatively impacted by Forex, which was about 19 crores. So if not for that impact, our net debt would have been further lower by another 19 crores. Our trailing 12-month EBITDA to net debt ratio is at 1.8x. Our cash-to-cash cycle remains steady at 116 days, and ROC has improved by 20 basis points to 15.1% on a trailing 12-month basis. Our capital employed that we use to compute the ROC, it includes the value of investments in OneSource, so which is currently valued at 360 crores. We have not adjusted this investment in either our net debt or our ROC calculation. Touching on the operating expenses, our operating expenses for the quarter are at 40.8% of sales. Q on Q, we have reduced our operating cost by 16 crores. Year on year, it's about a 43 crore increase. Our net finance cost for this quarter are at 41 crores. This is a reduction of 3 crores quarter on quarter and a significant reduction of 19 crores year on year. Our effective tax rate is under 15% for this quarter, and we expect it to be in the range of 17% to 20% as we, you know, through the rest of the year. Overall, it has been a very comprehensive operational performance, and we continue to work towards building sustainable growth and remain focused on our profitability and efficiency outcomes. Thank you, and we are happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Jagdish Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good quarter. I have two broad questions. My first question is on tariff risk in U.S. manufacturing. What proportion of our U.S. sales currently comes from the Tiffany Bridge facility? And in light of any potential tariff risk, is there any headroom to scale up production from this site further? This is my first question.
One third of our revenue comes from Chestnut Ridge facility, and the tariff continues to be a an event which we need to watch out. Right now, the position is that it does not cover generics, and we'll have to wait and see how it once we get any future announcements on this.
So one third of your revenue, okay.
Yeah. We had scaled down our Chestnut Ridge facility from a two-shift operation to a single-shift operation, and you know, if the need be, we can increase our shifts, and it will improve the capacities that we have in US.
Understand, sir. My second question is on other regulated markets. What's the broader growth strategy for the other regulated market segment, and by when should we expect this segment to grow in double digits year on year basis? On constant current basis.
Yeah, so as far as the other regulated markets, and there are many markets, all we can say is that the regulatory process eight, the growth should start ticking in from the next quarter, and in the next two to three quarters.
Okay, thanks, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for all the very best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congratulations to the team for another strong quarter. Badri, on the US business sales, the decline QOQ, this was largely on account of the discontinuation of the products, or how should we read that?
Yeah, so it is usually that's a trend that has been prevailing, Nitin, for last many years. Between the Q4 and Q1, there is a temporary decline, and then the growth picks up in Q2, Q3, Q4. Discontinuation has also contributed to some portions, and there is also some amount of seasonality and the trend, and that's what it is. But it's very temporary in nature.
Okay. And secondly, just following up on that, in the market, are you seeing any meaningful changes in the trends on the market dynamics that you want to call out? Any change in terms of any reduction in competition or any change in price behavior with all the noise around tariffs which you've seen in the market?
We are not seeing any such trends at this point of time. That's the reason we are able to maintain the market share of 36 out of 73 products in terms of the leading position. And anyway, we have to keep watching as we go on.
And secondly, on this Beyond Generics, we've talked about filing the first nasal spray. So how many of, so in this, if you can just probably give a little more color on this Beyond Generics strategy, how many products are we looking to file over the next 2-3 years, and when do they begin to contribute?
Then I, Tarun. So the Beyond Generics, what we connot is basically getting a higher per product volume, value, and a higher investment in R&D. So we do have a very significant pipeline of programs, including 505(b)(2)s, the nasal spray, the entire domain, patches, and also films. So that's the completely new areas that we currently don't operate, and all of those are produced or will be produced out of the U.S. We believe that we will get to a fairly significant size in the next 3 to 4 years while we kind of saturate the $400 million generic strategy with a disciplined approach on pricing and margin control. So the first product has been filed, but there are at least 3 or 4 filings that will be made this year. We will also have a first batch which will be available for commercial operations by the end of the year, end of this financial year. And then we have a series of filings in the patches and also in the nasal spray. So we are also enhancing our domain space there and also using or leveraging our controlled substance manufacturing capability at our Chestnut Ridge facility to get into more domains which require controlled drugs. So yeah, it's early days, but exciting times in terms of how we allocate capital and build that business. And I just to add to what you asked, Badri, earlier, in terms of the changing environment, you know, if we took off 3 products from the market, it is simply because it doesn't meet our profit criteria. We think we are, our pipeline is strong enough to continue the momentum of growth, and as Badri rightly said, we do have a fair amount of seasonality in our H2 sales. That's been quite standard for us for the last decade or so, so it's not something new. So even a 7% Q-on-Q growth is a fairly nice growth from that perspective, considering that we have discontinued a few products. So yeah, overall, we see the only new trend that we are seeing is that almost 50% of all ANDAs approved have not been launched. So it effectively means while there is approvals are coming in for products that would have been filed 2-3 years ago or capital committed 2-3 years, we are now seeing rational approaches manufacturers are making in launching products when they see there's no real value in being a price leader. So that we think is a positive trend, and also probably people are a little cautious about the tariff scenario. We strongly believe that they shouldn't, and it could, and the U.S. market cannot afford tariffs on generics, but we could be proven wrong given the circumstances of the market in which we operate. But I think overall, through an earlier question that was asked, between a combination of local manufacturing and, as Vikesh rightly said, we can expand our shifts, we have the ability to move a lot of our production into the U.S. Obviously, it comes at a price, so we'll then balance the tariff impact to local manufacturing costs. Overall, as long as our gross margin trajectory remains the same, we have the flexibility of a very large plant that can be quickly tuned up to take additional volume, but also react to potential tariffs. So we will have to wait and watch these next weeks as we come to a deadline in terms of timing. But overall, we continue to be very positive about the U.S. opportunity. Sorry about the long winding up.
No, thanks. That's very helpful. And Vikesh, just a couple of housekeeping ones. On the you know, gross margin, 60.5, it's a pretty, you know, probably the best we've done in a while. So is this gross margin that's around 60-odd% sustainable from here on? And an associated question is, you know, the overheads. I mean, how should we think about overheads, you know, from a current base perspective?
Sorry. So, on the gross margins, the business mix has really helped it. As you can see, access market is our lowest ever, and that has really also helped improve gross margins. And even the product portfolio in the U.S., the product mix has also helped us. But we would say that it is we would remain in the range. I think 58-60% is a good range for us to remain in. And on the OPEX, even last quarter we had mentioned that, you know, the H2 was a good run rate, and we will continue at that run rate.
So like a 460-470 crore per quarter is like a run rate to sort of model going forward.
Yes.
Thank you so much. That's good.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankit Singh from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
So my question is on the U.S. business. You've given the guidance of $400 million U.S. sales by 2028, which implies a healthy double-digit sales CAGR from your FY 2025 base. While if I look at the first quarter numbers, in constant currency, we have grown only at mid-single digits. So do you see the sales growth to accelerate over the next two or three quarters in the remainder year? Or will it be more back-ended in FY 26, 27, 28?
So we continue to maintain the long-term guidance of 400 million, and the growth will definitely start from Q2 onwards. And we are not too much worried about the quarter-on-quarter as long as we achieve the 400 million mark by FY 28.
Okay, so essentially you're saying that growth will pick up here on from the second quarter.
Absolutely.
And sir, secondly, on your nasal spray and controlled substances strategy, so is this baked in your $400 million guidance, or will it be over and above this?
Let me address that first. I think you shouldn't get confused with this beyond generic strategy. What we are basically saying is that we currently have enough portfolio of unlaunched products, approved but yet unlaunched products, through our Endo acquisition or the facility acquisition and or our own pipeline. We are in the process of revamping a lot of these products, launching it at the right and opportune time, and that will therefore take us to 400 million. So that's just a timing issue. When do we launch a product? When we discontinue a product? The beyond 400 is more an indication of the new R&D focus the company has on getting into domains and areas that we have not been doing earlier, which will drive growth beyond the 400 million. Now, will the two overlap? Maybe, maybe not. But it's just to give a differentiation between the two that we will get to the $400 million mark. We don't see an issue with that, as Badri correctly alluded. Will that have a few legs from the beyond 400, or is it all coming from our existing portfolios? Is academic, and it's a moot point that has no relevance to our growth strategy in the U.S.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you. So first question on US opportunity again. I mean, one, you made a statement that the competition, at least for now, is behaving rationally. And second, there are some reports out there which talk about the small molecules especially which are going off patent are two times over the next 5 years versus what they were last 5 years. So in that context, can we think of going beyond this 400 million also as part of our generic portfolio, keeping the beyond generics apart? I mean, what has to happen for you to change your mind saying that we don't want to cap generics anymore and maybe we'll invest in R&D, get more products, just given what is opening up over the next 5 years and the way our peers are behaving?
Yeah, so basically, Ankit, Strides does not operate in the first wave generic strategy at all. So while you're right with the freedom to operate opportunities doubling in the next 5 years, we do not operate in the first to launch unless it's a very specific domain that we operate in, which is very rare. So we don't challenge, we don't patent settle, we don't like to be in the first wave. Our strategy of finding products which are difficult to make, scarce, hard to develop, approve clinical studies or BE studies is what we are focused on. So that will continue, and it doesn't mean that the reason why we say 400 million, it kind of guardrails our disciplined approach of gross margin. if we launch the 100 odd approved ANDAs and decide to be the next large Indian generic company, it will come at the cost of margins, and that's not our focus. So can sales go beyond 400? The answer, for sure. Do we want to guide for more than 400? The answer is no.
Fair enough. In this quarter, we're planning to ramp up our R&D spend largely for beyond generics. Is it already here? I mean, this from this quarter onwards?
Yeah, it's already there.
Fair enough. Then thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So two questions. Number one, with this impending tariff, are we seeing increased sort of purchases from the US to fill up the inventories? Have we seen that behavior from our buyers? And secondly, secondly, on the beyond generics strategy, how much are we spending currently, which is baked in our P&L or capitalized?
No, we've not capitalized on that. You can look at our total spends for the quarter is about 29 crores, which includes both towards tangible and intangible capex. Intangibles is R&D.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Suhan Mittal from MFC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I have mainly two questions lined up. The first being that this quarter we have seen a drag in CFO in comparison to the EBITDA conversion. It is 54%. Like against 211 crores, we converted 112 crores of cash flow, which is degrowth compared to our previous quarterly run rate and conversion. So could you give any color that where the drag is being seen? Is it the US or the rest of the world markets or access or growth markets?
So it is only this is only because of an increase in inventory. Our inventories on quarter has increased by almost about 70 odd crores as we are building that for our growth in the next 9 months.
So secondly, is this a short-term planning or should we expect in the coming quarters the conversion rate to go upwards of 70-80%, if any qualitative color you could give?
Yeah, it would go upwards. I would not quantify that at this point.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prisha Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I have one question on growth markets. We see a strong 32% YOY performance for this quarter. So what have been the key drivers behind this and which specific geographies are leading to this momentum? Can we expect a similar trajectory in the upcoming quarters?
Yes. So the growth markets consist of many markets, especially in different regions, APAC, MENA, Canada, LATAM, and Africa, South Africa, all that. So from our perspective, the way we see it is that we have been increasing our regulatory efforts significantly, and that's going to be the focus in the near term. And we think this market will grow because we already identified the products and we got the portfolio maximization strategy in place.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kiran from Table Tree. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a great set of results. Sir, I had two questions, one strategic and one financial. The strategic question, sir, is as part of your annual report, you did speak about a lot about controlled substances, 505B2, nasal sprays. We filed our nasal spray in April. The first nasal spray. So just on controlled substances, sir, as we look through the next $100 million in the US, how does the controlled substance business work? Do we kind of supply to the quota or supply to players who supply to the quota? And what is the broad EBITDA margin? And next 100 million, should we assume like 20-30% of the next 100 million will come from controlled substances? If you could just give a little more color on what controlled substances and what kind of margins it can make and the, just the business model at a very high level, again, need not be specific. If it, that'd be great.
We don't give granularity of what you're seeking as a policy. Product information and quotas on controlled substances is very unique to organizations, and it's a policy that this company has for several years, that we do not break out this into the kind of granularity you're seeking.
Got it, sir. So, I mean, the next 100 million at least, the rough ratio of how much you...
No. Giving you a guardrail guidance of 400 million. Focus on that. Yeah. I'm getting the answer question on that. Granularity around that is not something that we are willing to share with you.
Sure, sure. Sir, Orbicular Pharma, the partnership with Orbicular Pharma, we did it in May 2023. It's been a couple of years. The nasal spray did, we submitted, is it part of that Orbicular Pharma? Is that still active? Do we expect some filings out of it? Just some qualitative insight?
It is. The nasal spray is in partnership with Orbicular.
Got it. Got it. Last question, sir, from a financials perspective, what is the expected debt pay down in FY26?
Our focus is on generating free cash, and we remain committed to that focus. And you already, we also have a 360 crores worth of investments in Mansos, one, you know, which is the 1.6% stake. So if you already adjust for that, we are at a very fairly comfortable position as far as net debt is concerned. Our focus remains to, you know, to drive profitability and efficiency and, you know, very calibrated growth, and that is what we will continue focusing on.
Okay, so there's no net, expected debt pay down metric you'd like to share, essentially?
I mean, there is free cash generation, significant free cash. We are funding capital and R&D without any new borrowings. Right, that will continue. And we should be able to reduce our debt. And just that, you know that when we are funding long-term with our own free cash, the debt is all related to working capital, which is backed up by receivables or inventory. So we are in a very comfortable situation in terms of our debt book. And it's not something that we really need to be apologetic anymore from the situation we were 4 years ago.
Perfect, sir. Understood. Sorry, sir. One last question on the qualitative aspect. Pricing challenges in UK is something that the presentation mentions. If you could just give some color on pricing challenges in the UK and how is it affected, or how will it affect FY23? I'm not looking for quarter to quarter, but generally, how will it affect FY26?
Yeah, so Q4 was a unique quarter for, I mean, Q1 was a unique quarter, which is in the UK market. We did face some headwinds on pricing. We think they are temporary in nature because it's not in, we don't see it being rampant. So we think it's temporary in nature and we should be able to pull back strongly from there.
Got it, sir. Congratulations and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pranav Gandhi from Lotus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good numbers. My question has been answered already.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shashi Kapoor from MOS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. First, congratulations to entire team, Badri, Arun, brilliant performance, both in terms of operations as well as the stock is doing quite good. Two questions. First is, we would be getting around 400 to 500 free cash now. How the allocation would be towards debt reduction and R&D? And second question is, what are the 2-3 risks you foresee towards the guidance which we have given of $400 million? And how we are planning to mitigate those risks? And lastly, you know, if we see by EBITDA basis, we are one of the cheapest company in the market. So maybe it's just a suggestion that we can look at strengthening our ties with especially investor relations team. We can strengthen that team. Yeah,
that's sure. As far as the first question is concerned, I just want to say that the R&D and R&D efforts are going to be increased, and the debt will be maintained within a particular range, and the intention is to pay off the debt, and we always stated that from a long-term perspective, we want to remain debt-free in the next 3 to 4 years. That's what we are planning. We are working on, and if all the things pan out as per plan, it is achievable at this point of time the way we see. As far as the risks are concerned, we are in generics. The things I think at this point of time, the 290 to 400 billion, the path is clear. The products are known. 20 products will be launched every year. Plus, there are also new opportunities which are coming through. I don't foresee any major risks at this point of time. And as far as the compliance is concerned, that is something which each and every pharma company has to focus on to get there. And as far as your suggestion is concerned, we don't want to speak on the market dynamics that the stock price will go up and down. As far as we are concerned, we are focused on giving shareholder value, which we have demonstrated in a meaningful way, and it's something which has been unforeseen for many years. And the recent one being we distributed 78.8 billion back to shareholders in the form of demerger and listing. And we will continue to focus on the shareholder value.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a great set of results. Most of my questions have been answered. So just wanted to ask, like we have a clear-cut guardrail guidance for U.S. sales. Is there some kind of aspiration for the growth and access market, sir?
So we will take a few more quarters to little.
Okay. I just wanted to know, like, access market this quarter has not performed as it usually does. So any kind of, is this cyclicality or, you know, how do we see that going forward, sir?
This is more got to do with the challenges that we've seen in the donor funding space. And, you know, that space at this point continues to remain challenging. So we will see that lumpiness and we continue to remain engaged, you know, with the buyers.
So I think it will be good to know that almost 80% of the access market funding comes from USAID. And USAID funding has been completely cut off for the antiretrovirals and malaria programs. Obviously, different countries and different agencies are trying to fill the gap. The gap is too big. So at this time, everything is up in the air, and I think it's across the industry that you would see a significant downturn in demand and order cancellations. So, yeah, it's a function of funding, and funding is simply not there.
Fair enough. I think USA is not happening anytime soon coming back. So I think that market, the growth markets have trying to compensate really well. So that's a good job done, sir. I think, yeah, that's it from my side. So all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. But two questions from my side. First is gross margins. So what is required for margins to go up from here? We are at around 60% and you indicated 50-60 as a fair range on annualized basis. Apart from pricing jump that can happen and that can bring in additional margins, what is required for us to push it up to say 60%?
I think nothing is required because we are in a good spot at 58-60%. I don't think we can expand beyond. There are various different cost structures, under recoveries in plants and other inefficiencies that we will work on. But to assume that we can grow beyond the 58-60 is a little at this time.
And you, in the follow-up...
Sorry to interrupt. May I request you to join the queue for a follow-up question?
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah,
just one question on growth. So this quarter also we grew 7% QOQ. So are we expecting a quarter on quarter for the next couple of years? Is that correct?
We grew 6% year on year on revenues. Quarter on quarter it was a decline, but we remain focused on gross margins and EBITDA, where you see and PAT, in fact, you see quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year performance.
EBITDA margins at 19.5%, are these going to be maintained for the rest of the year? Is that a fair assumption?
Our endeavor is to maintain, you know, closer to that range.
That is it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as our last question for today. I now would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, everyone, and we look forward to your support and as we focus on our execution and growing the company. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Strides Pharma Science Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.